Welcome to the Source Refresh Small Business Supply Chain Podcast. I'm your host, Chandrika Venkatraman. Join me as I talk to small businesses from across the world to learn about their supply chains, their support systems, and what keeps them moving.
I'm sitting down for a chat with Sean Berg of SMB Sales and Marketing today. Sean is the founder of this East Coast natural and organic grocery broker. He has decades of experience enabling retail selling into Southeast grocers like Publix. Sean, welcome to the Source Refresh podcast. What else should we know about SMB sales and marketing and about your professional experience?
Thanks for having me today. So SMB sales and marketing is a really quite brand new. We just started officially July 1st of last year, so 8 months next week. It's going pretty well. We have a nice portfolio of brands. I work mostly with Southeastern retailers, as you said, a little bit out of region if it makes sense for the brand or if the brand needs kind of some other help. My best experience is with Publix, and there are some brands that just contract me out for Publix because, you know, it's easier to separate like a big customer out of their billing and that sort of thing. I've been a broker for 11 years. I've been calling on Publix and Southeastern grocers and some other retailers in the Southeast for 8 years. Previously, I called on retailers up in the New England market. I've previously to SMB sales, I worked for iLevel Brands for about 2.5 years, which is a small national natural broker. And I worked at Presence Marketing for 8 years previous to that, which is a larger natural foods broker.
So something I get asked about a lot is, what does going into retail mean for startups? So with your experience, would you be able to talk to me about how you bring a brand to shelf at Publix?
Sure. For one thing, and this is what I would say to a lot of startups, especially with my smaller area of operation, a startup shouldn't actually be working with me right away. They should start in their local marketplace. If they're natural and they meet all the requirements for, you know, local Whole Foods or local Sprouts or just local natural stores in their area, that's definitely where they should start first. And then kind of build out a little bit in their own area, kind of, you know, some are going to get there quicker than others if there's funding and that sort of thing. But just kind of do some of that guerrilla marketing first, kind of, you know, build up in your area, and as you get a name and a following and, you know, decide how you're going to, you know, make the product once you need to go larger form. Then as brands come to me and want to get into Publix, the most important thing to know about Publix is they're not a leader. They consider themselves a fast follower. That's what they'll say to a brand if they were to meet with them. So oftentimes, you know, unfortunately, I'm not sure. We've never called on Publix before, and we're in 150 doors nationally. Can you get us in this year? Not necessarily. I can get you the best opportunity to get a meeting. I can give you the best tools for how you should prepare, what you should do when you're in market. Heck, I can even talk you out of it if that's the right thing to do. What I tell a brand, particularly a brand, if a brand doesn't think they're right for Publix this year, but they're going to be ready next year, this is the year we start presenting to them. We're most likely not going to get in the first time anyway. What we want to do is get on their radar, let them see us once, see what we're doing. In the interim year between this meeting and next year, assuming we do not get in, we're building in other marketplaces might be easier to get into, like Sprouts, Whole Foods, Wegmans, you know, the Ahold banners in the Northeast. Sometimes they'll take product earlier on. Just kind of, you know, Kroger, if a Walmart Target is your option, that sort of thing. Just kind of progressing from when Publix might have first seen us to the next year. And, you know, that really improves our chances of getting in. I know that's not always what a startup wants to hear, especially a startup that's looking either for capital, has the capital, looking for to, you know, start the lines, that sort of thing. But I really try to instill into everybody that I work with that this is a long-term process. I want to be in it with them for the long term. That, you know, there's no magic with Publix. You just kind of you follow the procedure as far as when they have a category review, like going to the buyers. I give you a plan to come to them strong. I help them decide if they want to go through the distributor, go directly to Publix, let Publix figure it out. And, you know, every single buyer is different. How I would tell you as a beverage brand needs to be in the cold case, how to go to Publix would be different if your brand didn't need to go in the cold case. So, you know, and that's the beauty of being a small broker. I don't have to be a one-size-fits-all. I can do it any way that works best for the customer and for the startup going to them.
That's a good point. What are some challenges that you've seen play out commonly with startup brands as they enter retail?
You know, there's always startup brands, and usually founders have a million ideas. And earlier on in their life cycle is probably when a lot of those million ideas come out. I know just as my own broker startup, I think I changed my mind on how I want this business to grow just about every day. So when you're founding a brand, you're changing your mind all the time. And how I see that being a burden, as you get to retailers like Publix or, you know, Fresh Market, Harris Teeter as well, if you're not on point, if you're not coming into them with a, this is who we are, this is what we want to do, this is what we'll do for you, this is our package, and then make a whole bunch of changes along the way, either before you were to get on shelf or if you are blessed to get on shelf, you know, that's kind of going to scare the retailer away. They might not think that you're ready for them yet. Changing from a co-packer to packing it or to doing it yourself or vice versa, you know, just coming in with a lot of noise, I guess, I would tell a brand to, you know, kind of stay away from some of that sort of stuff when you're calling on a Publix. And that might lead to not calling on Publix as quickly as you want, which, again, you know, a brand needs to be ready to get on those shelves if they pitch to Publix. And even in the scenario where I say you should pitch a year early, ultimately, I want that brand to know if Publix decides to say yes, you got to be ready for them. And if you pitch to somebody like Publix or any other big retailer and you're not fully ready, and Publix will ask the questions about capacity and that sort of thing, it's going to make it a lot harder for you in the future if something were to happen where they were interested and you couldn't pull the trigger.
So that ties in really well with, you know, your initial advice too, right? For startup brands, like, you know, where you're saying, test it out in smaller chains, make sure that you have a robust plan. Out of curiosity, what have you seen as, you know, a typical time frame between a brand starting, going into a small scale grocer, and then making a play into one of the larger chains? What is that ideal time frame? Is there a rule of thumb time frame for that?
The rule of thumb in that most natural brokers would say it'd probably be 18 months, and that seems to make sense to me. From founding to selling at the small level, getting some early adopter wins, either be it a Sprouts, Whole Foods, you know, Kroger and Walmart sometimes will pilot and pioneer things. You know, getting past those couple early pioneers to going and expecting to get on shelves at a lot of mainstream retailers, I'd say it's really 18 months from conception to retailer meeting where you have a lot better chance of getting on shelf every time you try. It could be 16 months or 20 months or that sort of thing, depending a little bit on when the review periods are. Like all the Southeast retailers, Publix included, are on a review schedule. But really, that 18 months seems to be kind of a sweet spot.
What happens once a brand finds itself on shelf at Publix? What are their deliverables after that? How do they measure? And most importantly, how do they continue to grow?
So I would take that back even a level. Even before you hit shelf, one thing with Publix that can be a stick for small brands is Publix will give a good deal of notice oftentimes to let you know that you are getting in. What they won't necessarily know until about a month out is how many stores you're going to have. They'll give you indications. Sometimes they could give a clear plan, but really what Publix will do is they'll decide what they want to carry, what they don't want to carry, which includes things that they currently carry. And then a lot of times the computers will take over and they have something called MPS system for most of their planograms that chooses the stores that items belong in based on various factors, demographics, towns with, rural versus city, all these sort of things. And you might not get your store count until 4 weeks before you are starting to hit shelves, which is going to be about 1 or 2 weeks before you get those orders. So really you have a meeting and you're kind of waiting in bated breath for the completion of your knowledge for about 4 months, and then you have a month to get on shelf. So once you get on shelf, in the natural foods world, startups aren't going to be on TV to tell you when they're, the new and exciting innovation they have, unless it's a brand that blazed a trail like Goli apple cider vinegar gummies, which is kind of, they had a different investment model. But in general, in the natural world, you get on shelf. You can do some of your social, digital, really good Instagram, that sort of thing. Oftentimes, Publix won't let you in their very best programs early on because, their ad space is premium. So you start by being on the shelf and kind of have to take a few weeks before people know you're there, unless you've done a really good guerrilla marketing in the area. If you're a hot sauce, for instance, once the hot sauce planogram changes, your hot sauce buyers are probably going to find you by accident at first, or they're going to go looking at Publix to see if they might carry the item. So it's really, you have about a 10-week period where your sales are going to be more disappointing to you than they're going to be to Publix. And, the best ways to promote is they have something called a new item co-op where you can get into an ad vehicle early or into a quarter pallet at the front of the store within the first 6 months when you're on shelf. Of course, they're competitive, so not everybody gets into them, but it's really, putting in promotions as soon as you can. If you're through distribution, sometimes there's a longer lead time because distribution needs that extra time. And just, it's kind of a frustrating slow build at first where, you can't do the best promotions until Publix knows how you sell right away, especially if you're an up-and-coming brand, especially in center store grocery. And so you're doing the promotions, you're loading up your social media with as many geo-target type things, and maybe you're doing digital coupons with Ibotta, Inmar, that sort of thing. You're really just doing whatever you can to canvas the market. Some brands will have feet on the street where they could go in into the stores and fluff them up, talk to people in the stores. But sometimes it's just, you're just dropping the product in. You're hoping people find you before the Publix thinks there's a problem with the product. And that's really kind of a scary scenario. The nice thing about Publix is they don't charge slotting in general. So they're picking up items that they want to carry. The buyer decides, I want this item. And they most often believe in it, even through the early going. And, they're very rarely going to drop it after one cycle. The issue is if you have a buyer change, that new buyer is not invested in you. So that's the problem there. But yeah, I mean, it's a slow process. It can be painful for brands. Brands that buy SPINS data are looking at those reports every month. We're looking at distribution reports, everything. And it, you know, you have your big orders at the beginning, and then you just kind of wait and wait. You put in TPRs, you try to do extra savings ads, everything you can, but you're not going to sell that well for a while.
So, you know, going back to something you said a while back, you know, which was that try establish yourself in, you know, in regional spaces, you know, try to build brand awareness and all of that before you, you know, come into Publix. What kind of data do you, you know, recommend these startup brands start monitoring before they bring up, you know, before they bring up those conversations with Publix? What do you typically advise brands to do?
I would recommend brands use any distributor data that they can as often as possible. This data is inbound data and doesn't always show what goes out the door, but usually there's a combination of what the inbound data says and in any promotion data that you have. You will get promotional updates from just about every retailer you do a promotion with. It'll come either from some sort of direct portal or from the you know, the distributor that they use. Buying SPINS or IRI data can be expensive. I would recommend everybody who can buy some, you know, buy it and buy it smartly. You know, use it with large retailers you might be in. Use it for points of difference. It is expensive. I wouldn't necessarily buy Publix data if you're not in Publix. What you're really trying to prove to Publix is how you can sell versus what they carry, because this is how you sell versus what they carry at other places. But spins and IRI are expensive, so I definitely say be judicious. As a small broker, I don't currently buy spins or IRI, but I will be buying those things as soon as I can, because they are an extra step. But I've seen with some past experience that if you do a good job with those inbound reports from your distributors, you can find out a lot about what's going on. You know, asking the buyer for one-time favors on how you're doing and all that sort of stuff is helpful too. Basically, what I tell anybody and how I operate, if you ever learn anything, make sure you log it. Like every single thing I can learn, even if it's an innocuous 5-second comment that a buyer might tell me, that's getting logged somewhere, either in my brain or in some sort of Excel report.
That's smart advice. So I know you already covered quite a lot of, you know, pointers for small businesses. If we were to, you know, really summarize all of that advice as a wrap up, what is all of that advice that you would give to small brands that are trying to enter retail distribution?
Expect it to be slow. Budget for it to be slow. Don't expect you're going to get 10,000 doors in your first year, and don't budget for it. Don't hire staff for it. Don't, you know, it's going to take time. If the product is wonderful, it's going to rise to the top. Don't go to a retailer that you can't support with product, or you can't support their promotions. If you're thinking about going to somebody like Publix, budget in a couple years, depending on your category. And I would do some market study of your category, either if you've hired a broker to work with you. The broker's going to have a pretty good idea of what's been going on. We keep, like I said, you keep everything. I keep all the reports. I can tell you what happened in hot sauce the last 5 years, honestly, probably the last 12. you know, just expect, if you're not in it for the long haul, you might not want to be in it. But if you are in it for the long haul, you know, just take your time. Go after retailers that open the right kind of distribution. You know, if you're natural, unless there's a reason you don't want to go to Whole Foods and Sprouts, go to Whole Foods and Sprouts, go to Wegmans, go to some of the early adopters. You know, if Kroger wants to see you and you have the capacity, go there. go to Publix if you can supply them, even if you think that it's better to wait a year. Just, like, be slow in a hurry, if that makes sense. You know, take it pragmatic, but be ready for if it becomes less pragmatic. Like, be ready for the big one. Don't expect it.
Spot on. I love that. I think that's that shows all of your experience shining through. Thank you so much, Sean. This has been a pleasure chatting with you today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I always like talking about groceries.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can get more information on today's episode in the show notes or at source-refresh.com/podcast. To hear more episodes, please subscribe to the Source Refresh Small Business Supply Chain Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from.